are at the ASA meeting in Grantham, Pennsylvania at Messiah College. We have Glenn Morton here to tell his story and journey. Welcome.
Well, thank you. You just want me to start talking?
Yes. Tell us a little background information and where you come from and what about your journey?
Okay. Well, I grew up in a family that was half atheist and half Southern Baptist. My dad was an atheist. My mom, Southern Baptist, but she was also mentally ill and was quite abusive. And as a result, in high school, I rejected Christianity and religion and quit going to church. And I wasn't a Christian at the time. I had not become a Christian. And so when I got to college, I became more and more depressed and actually ended up at one point trying to take my life. And about a week later after that, Campus Crusade came in to my dorm, and they presented the gospel, and I didn't pay any attention to them. I thought, no, I'm not going to do that thing. But a friend's life had turned around, and I watched him for a few weeks, and I wanted what he wanted, or what he had. And he got me to go to a Campus Crusade meeting, and I became a Christian. And the guy that discipled me basically told me that the Bible taught young earth creationism. And because of my background, really, I loved the warmth and the acceptance and everything. I probably would have been willing to believe about anything in order to get that. Because what I responded to was the love I saw in the people that I was dealing with. And thus, I gradually began to think, well, you know, somehow God did it, and I guess I was arrogant enough to think that I could figure out how God did it, in spite of several physics problems that were presented to the young earth creationist. And over the next 10 years, I did a lot of, I went into geophysics in the oil business and began to see things that disturbed me. But I continued to have faith that this is what God was doing and how God had created the world. And but I kept struggling with how to solve the problems. And so out of that struggle came a bunch of articles for Creation Research Society Quarterly, Answers in Genesis' Creation Magazine, and a couple other things, but I ended up publishing 30 articles in favor of young earth creationism. And while I was always a bit suspect on the young earth creationist leadership was always just a little bit suspicious of me because I was talking a lot of geology and a lot of geology problems. I did end up meeting all of them and would always ask, how do I solve this problem and how do I solve that problem? Because in geophysics, every day at work, what I saw was the data telling me that my views were wrong. There are footprints up and down the geologic column. There are worm burrows up and down the geologic column. Of course, there are the astronomy issues. How do you get light from a star more distant than 6,000 years? But that one didn't bother me too much, and not as much as the geology did. How do you deposit 75,000 feet of sediment, sort it, have worm burrows in it, all in a one-year flood? And the more I questioned and the more I suggested that young earth creationism should go another direction and try to answer these difficulties, quite frankly, the more I was pushed away. And that began to bother me. And since I knew all of the, you know, had met all of the leadership of young earth creationism of the early 80s, The fact that any problem I raised, they would not only not explain it, they would kind of actively avoid explaining it. It began to make me have a lot of doubts about, is this the right answer? And by 1986, I'd pretty much quit publishing. There are a couple of articles after 86 for Young Earth Creationism. One of them has my name on it. It's actually a bunch of letters that George Howe and I wrote. He compiled my letters into an article. He actually wrote the article, but they were from my letters. But I was at the point that I could not even write an article anymore because I was having such problems with dealing with what I saw versus what I thought the Bible said, that Monday through Friday at work, I had to act and work as an old earth evolutionist, not because my company made me, but because that was what the data said. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I could be a young earth creationist. And that double-mindedness, that double-minded man, really began to bother me to the point that I finally decided I had to be honest with the data. And that's when I went silent in publishing and was really out of the issue for about 10 years, during which time I did a lot of computer programming for fun, did fluid dynamics, I did nonlinear systems, and I began to see how iterative nonlinear systems produce patterns that are observed in the fossil record, punctuated equilibrium. And when I began to see that, I then began to go back and look at the Bible again and began to realize that the Bible actually might actually teach evolution. When God says, Earth, bring forth living creatures, Earth is doing the bringing forth. God didn't say, God, bring forth living creatures. He said, Earth, bring forth living creatures. God placed that power in the earth to bring forth life. And that was a major hurdle in my, or I guess a major part of the downfall of young earth creationism in my life, was when I realized the Bible itself may be teaching something that I am arguing strongly against. But still, for a couple of more years, I held on as a young earth creationist, and finally in 93, I just couldn't hold on anymore. And I, even at that time, almost became an atheist then, because I had been told over and over and over how if evolution is true, the Bible is false. And here I found myself now believing that evolution was true. So what is the logical consequence? Bible is false. And I guess that is probably why over the last 10 years I have struggled so hard with the question of atheism. I was programmed for it, I was set up for it, but yet it's not them that did it, it's me. It's my responsibility. And I think I can say now that I really will never become an atheist. I have resolved a lot of doubts that I had over the 1990s as I was struggling to put my new views into place. I was asked today by a gentleman, had my theology views changed? And actually my theology views have not changed. I still believe, like young earth creationists do, that there has to be some contact of the Genesis account with reality. If God doesn't know what happened, or is unable to tell us what happened, or is unwilling to tell us what happened, then one has a perfect right to wonder whether or not he's really God, because he's the only one at creation. And so what I've done is put together a set of views that work for me, that may not work for anybody else, but they work for me, that takes Genesis 1 and makes it the pre-planning of the universe. And God said, let there be light. And it was so. Well, who wrote that, and it was so? It wasn't God. God didn't say it. God didn't say, let there be light, and it was so. Somebody else wrote, and it was so, and it was the writer of Genesis, and it doesn't say when it was so. And each one of the great commands in Genesis 1 can be interpreted in that fashion. And you can put them as a pre-temporal planning of the universe, and that way the order of the events does not have to match the order of events we see in geology, in the geologic record. One does not have to worry about the sun appearing after the plants do, because a planner doesn't have to plan things in any particular order. He just has to carry them out in a proper order. An architect can start a design at the top of the building and work down if he wants to. But he has to build it from the ground up. And so that's why I look at Genesis 1, and then Genesis 2, I believe, is billions of years later with the creation of man. But I move mankind, I move Adam way back. I think there has to be a real Adam. But the genetic data clearly says that there are genes in our bodies that have mutations on them. There's enough variability on these locations that it would take 5 million years for that much genetic variability to arise. And thus, Adam is not a recent person. He is not 100,000 years old. He has to be at least 5 million years old, because our genes are telling us that. If you want an Adam who is the direct ancestor of all human beings. There are some very good anthropological arguments in favor of that position, because you can find evidence of religion going back about 1.5 million years. You can see art being recognized by hominids 3.5 million years ago, or actually 3.2. So, at the end of the day, there has to be some touchstone with reality, because if God doesn't know what happened and he can't tell us what happened, one has to still question then whether he is God. And that's why I think that my theology cannot change on that. The Bible must teach us something real about reality. But our interpretation of the Bible can change, because our interpretation is just that, an interpretation of the Bible. To claim otherwise is to claim that we are infallible interpreters of God's Word, and we are not infallible at anything. So today, I guess, I'm an old earth. I still view myself as a creationist, but I'm also an evolutionist. I believe God created the world with the power to create us. And that is not a deistic position, because it is God's utter design and involvement with the universe that allowed us to arise. I guess in my journey, the hardest thing was admitting that I was wrong. I had published 30 articles, and it was quite humbling to have to acknowledge publicly just how wrong I can be. And that was a big impediment that actually kept me, it was my pride that kept me as a young earth creationist, as long as I was a young earth creationist. I didn't want to admit that I was wrong. And today, I try to take a different approach and look for where I am wrong, rather than try to look for where I'm right, because I've already learned that I can fool myself quite well, and one needs to be careful that one is not fooling oneself. But I guess basically that's my story.
Is there any key people, events, books that were helpful?
Yeah, there was Alan Hayward sent me a book in 1986 to review, and it was Creation Evolution. I reviewed the chapters he asked me to review, but when he sent me the final book, I never actually read it until the early 90s when I was having a very serious crisis of faith, wondering whether I was going to be an atheist. And the Days of Proclamation view, this view that Genesis 1 is pre-planning of the universe, I got from Alan Hayward. And while Alan and I would disagree on many, many theological issues, I really must credit his book for giving me the straw I could grasp that allowed me to bridge from young earth creationism to theistic evolution. Because without that different interpretation, that twist to the interpretation, I saw no way to do what I said I feel like is very, very important, and that is have a touchstone of reality in the creationism account. The way I see it, and this is rather controversial on the part of my friends on both sides of the spectrum, the young earth creationists make the Bible true by denying all science, the validity of all science. In my opinion, my more liberal-minded friends make the Bible true by removing it from reality, where it is totally untestable. And I think when we remove it from reality, then we also are in danger of removing the resurrection from reality. Because if you say God didn't intend to tell us a true history at creation, why can one not also say that about the resurrection? God didn't give us a story in the New Testament that was really intended to be taken seriously. And to do one without the other appears to me to be very ad hoc. So, but yeah, in answer to your question, that book was very key in formulating my present views. But the one demand that I make is that there has to be some reality in it, because there's thousands of religions. Each of them has their creation story. They're mutually exclusive, and only one of them at most can be right. They all can be wrong, but at most only one can be right. So,
advice for young earth creationists or others who might be listening?
Oh, I guess I would, having been a young earth creationist, I know that when people would present evidence against my position when I was a young earth creationist, I knew in my heart of hearts that that person had data that didn't fit my views. And I ignored it. And I ignored it for years. And I guess the advice I would give is just to ask the question, is honesty before God about the data of this earth more important, or is that interpretation more important? In my opinion, it came down that I had to be honest. I could not stand before God and say, I have twisted every piece of data that I saw in order to fit this interpretation. I had to honestly admit, I did not have the answer, and that was a very tough thing to do. So that'd be my advice. Don't twist the data. Deal with what is. Don't look for reasons not to accept the data. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you telling us your story.
Well, thank you.